Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Have you ever had one of those moments where you're in a conversation with someone and you feel like you should know who they are? Maybe you've bumped into them once or twice and you don't really know how to talk to them because you can't put your finger on how you know them.
Abby, daily. Seriously, it's almost daily.
So we got to see live footage of this happening to Vogue correspondents Tiana Taylor and Ego Wodum because they came in contact with a celebrity that they didn't know, but it turns out he's one of the biggest stars in the world. He made history as the first male Bollywood star to walk the Met Gala steps. And in this interview, they're having very, very uncomfortable small talk because you can tell they just don't know what to ask him because they don't know who this man is, despite him being one of the biggest stars in the world. And it ends up happening that Sabyasachi Mukherjee, who was one of the designers on the red carpet, had to swoop in and be like, y'all don't even know anything about Shah Rukh Khan. And it shows.
And just to give you a little bit of context, Shah Rukh Khan is probably one of the most famous men in the world. And his fan following is legendary. And we nearly had a stampede outside the hotel when he came out. And you know, when you get a man like this on the red carpet, especially when it's Black Dandy, I think representation is the most important thing. And we wanted to represent Shah Rukh Khan as Shah Rukh Khan and nobody else.
So all of his fans are going off online, basically saying that these hosts should have known better. Like, how are you going to be on the Met Gala steps and not know the people you're going to interview?
I mean, is there a list that allows you to do the homework on exactly who is going to be there so you would have that knowledge?
That's the thing is, I don't think we know that. And that's why I've given these hosts a lot of grace because there's so many A-listers on that red carpet. And if you aren't given like a study sheet or a Quizlet, for God's sakes, like to know who you're going to be interviewing. And this is somebody that, you know, might be the biggest star in the world or the biggest Bollywood star. But if you have never heard of him, because Bollywood movies are not big on this side of the world, then I think we had to give some grace for them here.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I think it's tough on them. Yes, you should try to know everybody that you're interviewing, but it's so many different cultures, so many different movies. Like, I don't know how it's possible unless you do have a list of some sort.
Yeah, we're doing this in-show game right now on the Burt Show where all these guys are trying to get A-list celebrities to call them. We have no idea who it's going to be, though. So we can't do the research on it. You have to, like, think on your feet. But if you're one of those reporters on the red carpet and somebody comes out and you don't know who they are, but they're one of the biggest celebrities in the world, but not in your part of the world, that's a tough putt.
It's embarrassing. And shame on Vogue for not giving them any kind of heads up. Because obviously, like, when it comes to the Met Gala, you know you're going to be interviewing Rihanna. You know you're going to be interviewing Kim Kardashian. But like I said, this is the first time a male Bollywood star has ever even walked the Met Gala steps. So I think unless there was some kind of study sheet, there was really no way to know or have a heads up. Rihanna, speaking of her, she is confirming that despite the fact that she is pregnant with her third baby, you can still expect an album from her.
Brie, congratulations.
Thank you, boo.
3 months.
Oh my God, they have us like,
I know,
in the forest
I
here.
I look like I'm surprised, right?
How are you?
I want to see that, but that bump looks so
thank
cute.
You.
But the question is, how are you? How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm shockingly feeling okay.
Yeah.
And not too overwhelmed at the moment.
I mean, well, can you not feel a tad overwhelmed? How is it?
I mean, at first it was kind of like, oh, and I'm tired. But then,
what a blessing.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. But girl, you know, now is this putting R9 on pause even longer? Because you were in production.
No, maybe a couple videos, but.
A couple videos?
I could sing.
You feel a sigh of relief, Mo?
No, I feel like she should stop getting people's hopes up. I mean, I don't think an album is coming. If an album is coming, I feel like she should just hit us with it at this point. Because do not get us all hyped again just for us to figure out that we still have to listen to an ASAP Rocky album. And that's as close as we gonna get. I don't see it. I hope I'm wrong, but I can't see it.
Can I ask you guys a question about the Met Gala here real quick?
Yeah.
Is there a disconnect? Like, I know that you know, Hollywood and celebrities love to fancy themselves as very important people. And this night of fashion, I know for women, they like to take a look at from time to time, you know, what they're wearing. Is this more an event for media than it is for like non-media people? Like we've been talking about it for 2 days, but do most people even care about this thing?
No, I love the Met Gala, but I'm a fashion girly.
But again, we're in the industry. I'm saying if we're not in the industry.
Oh no, all my friends are talking about this. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I think if you're not into fashion or you're on the cusp, like I look at it as sort of an art exhibition because that's what it is. Otherwise, I feel like I'm literally looking at the Capitol and the Hunger Games and it just grosses me out.
It's so weird, right?
The only dress I've ever liked was worn by a politician and it said tax the rich. And I'm like, there we go. But so I think it depends what you're interested in. And I mean, the Super Bowl isn't a good example at all, but if you don't like football, then you don't care about the Super Bowl and you're not paying attention to anything leading up to it. So I think it's kind of like fashion's version of the Super Bowl. Would that be right, Abby?
I think so.
I think your Hunger Games analogy was really good for me because as I was watching, it just felt like such a pretentious event.
It does.
And it celebrates celebrity. I know it's a charity and the theme was really spot on this year also. But I'm like, do most Americans really care about this Hunger Games type event that's going on? Because it just felt like so out of touch to me.
To me, this is a big pop culture moment. It's just like how I'm not a big football fan, but I was excited to see Kendrick's performance at the Super Bowl because I knew it was going to be a pop culture moment. And so sure, like most people don't care about pop culture, but a lot of people do. I mean, it's a reason it's called pop culture. It's representing what's popular in the culture right now.
And a lot of people don't know it's a fundraiser for the Mets Costume Institute. So it's specifically for the part of the Metropolitan, you know, the Met that is all about clothing and costumes. And that's why it fits. Otherwise, I do think it would be a very gross, like Hunger Games-esque Capitol thing.
Yeah, they're supporting the arts and they broke a record with $31 million raised this year. So good for them. Dang. I know.
Okay. Wow. All right.
All right. Kanye West is making headlines again after a Piers Morgan interview. I'm going to tell you what got him to walk out of it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show. Real funny.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How can anybody feel like a hypocrite just because they've lost 80 pounds? That's how Rebecca is feeling right now.
Yeah, the skinnier I get, the more sinister my spirit becomes, I feel like.
It's the spirit of Bella Hadid is taking over.
She's quaking in her boots.
Did you see her on Twitter the other day?
No.
She was subtweeting you.
She was? What? Shut up.
She was like, that social media producer from Atlanta, Rebecca, is like really coming for my neck.
She said, stop.
And my neck is so tiny.
My body is getting lighter, but my capacity for evil is growing is what it really feels like because I have lost 80 pounds at this point, which is super crazy. I am serving skinny legend and I'm feeling kind of complicated about it.
At what point do you start to look at yourself in the mirror and like not recognize yourself?
You know, what's really crazy is I feel like maybe I have like reverse body dysmorphia or something because I don't feel that different. But people keep coming to me and saying that I look really different. Like I had a bunch of P1s come up and say they still love me even though I'm not part of the community anymore. And I'm like, I guess I'm not. People are like, you look so different from your profile pictures because I hadn't really changed them. And I'm like, do I really?
Wait, you're not part of the overweight
The overweight brigade.
Is that what they were suggesting?
Yeah, like the plus size community.
The FGC, the Fat Girls Club. Thank you. No, but I think that's a lot of, I've heard that a lot from women, especially who have lost a lot of weight, is that, and I'm not trying to speak for you, but for them, even though their physical body changed mentally, they still kind of feel like they used to be. Mm. And it's not a bad thing. It's just they can't come to terms with, and not in a bad way, but like they can't reconcile the new body with how they've been for such a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I was overweight for such a long time. I feel different in my body, but when I look in the mirror, I don't think I look that different.
And now this is going in a different direction, so we'll circle back to what you're originally going to talk about. But do you feel like people treat you differently now that you've lost that weight?
100%.
Really? In what ways?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm getting like actually approached by people out in public more. Like if I go out, like men will talk to me. Mm-hmm. That wasn't happening as much when I was heavier. It seemed like I was just more ignored by society. It's almost like people seem nicer, but they also just seem to engage with me more, which is, I'm not a fan. Don't love that. I'm a shy person. Mm. I don't want to talk to you on like the MARTA train or whatever, you know, like someone on a plane actually like talks to me when they sit next to me instead of being upset that I'm like sitting next to them, you know,
seriously.
Stuff like that. Yeah. That's and it's hard to like qualify because it's like you don't actually know if someone's talking to you because you're skinnier. How would they actually interact with you if they had known you before? It's hard to say. But I think as a general consensus, the world just treats you better when you're skinnier.
Mm-hmm. Has that made you look at people differently?
Yeah. Well, I already knew this. Like, fat people know this. Fat people know that society treats you better. I've been skinny and then fat and then now I'm skinny again. And it's like, it's not shocking. I know that society is fat phobic and that they will treat you differently and they'll think you're smarter. They'll think you're nicer. They'll think you're funnier. Like it's just true. And my friends and family and you guys don't treat me that way, but society as a whole, for sure.
Ashley is feeling you on this. Hey, Ashley, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I've lost 40 pounds, so I've lost half of what you have, and I don't see it either. It is the strangest mental thing. Like, I am still in the same size, basically. They just fit a little looser. Mm-hmm. So even at 40 pounds, I don't feel like that's so significant. It's a significant number, but and nothing else feels significant.
Ashley, on the second part of this that we were talking about, do you feel people will treat you differently without the 40 pounds?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's just not enough, even though I 40 pounds should be.
Right. No, that's something else, man.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I've lost enough weight to kill Abby, basically. And I've been having some weird feelings about it because, honestly, the first thing is losing weight is intoxicating. It is absolutely intoxicating. It doesn't matter how hard and how much it sucks to lose weight because, obviously, the way that I unintentionally lost weight, it sucked. It was evil Ozempic, which is cancer.
Mm-hmm. is that what we're calling it?
It literally feels like evil Ozempic. That's what I call it. Because, okay, I got surgery on my tongue. I got radiation, which means that I just can't eat anymore. I can't eat. Mm-hmm. I'm eating because my body is tea, but I'm not like consuming food the same way.
I said this the same thing to my ex-wife who got coronavirus, right? And has still never gotten her taste buds back.
Wow.
About 90% of her taste buds. And she lost all this weight. And I said, like, if somebody, some scientist, could create a way for us to, like, temporarily take our taste buds away, that's the way to lose weight. Because you lose your motivation.
It is really crazy. Because being skinnier is fun. But if I, like, sat down and ate a Dorito right now, it might kill me. Like, if I ate like a Popeye's chicken biscuit without a drink, I genuinely think it would kill me. It would be over for me. But none of this is the problem. My problem is that I knew I was going to lose weight. I never knew I was going to lose this much weight. And it seems like I'm going to be losing even more weight as time continues. I always said to myself that I would never disrespect the old me. I would always cherish her. I would always think that she is beautiful because I feel that way. I think I am just as beautiful now as I was back then. And I do not subscribe to the idea that being overweight is inherently unattractive. And this was a principle that was really easy for me to stand by until I started dating this guy that I have really started to like. And it shattered. So just to paint the picture. We're sitting there. We're being all disgusting and cute. Oh, show me what your best friend looks like. Okay, here's my Instagram. Oh, it's a generic white guy. I'm shocked. Let me show you what my best friends look like. Oh, I have a picture of myself at my best friend's wedding. Wait. I stop scrolling and I realize I don't want to show this guy what I looked like when I was heavier. Mm. Like, I literally stop in my tracks and realize I don't want him to see what I looked like. So I changed the subject. And I was like, show me your most expensive Pokemon card. And that gave me like an hour to like think about why I felt that way.
And what's the fear? Is that if he sees you with the weight on that he'll get some kind of ick factor and that's it for now?
I don't know, because it's so irrational, because he knows I've lost a lot of weight. Like, he is aware of this. He's not the kind of guy, as far as I know, who would be like, whoa, you were fat. Uh-oh, bye. You know, like, I'm not fat now, so it doesn't actually change anything in the, like, today. I'm just like putting this self-judgment on myself, and I don't know why.
Real quick. I think Mo and I can speak to the boyfriend here.
Yeah.
Guys don't care.
We care a little bit.
Not at all.
I don't think it's irrational. So I think based on the way you've just told us, society treated you different when you were heavier versus when you were skinnier. Now you find someone you really want to hang on to, and you know he's a good guy, and like, he wouldn't care. But maybe there's a little voice being like, but what if he sees that and thinks you're going to get back there, and then he's going to break up with you and not treat you the right way? But regardless of that, you're a different person now, not just physically, but mentally from where you were before. You went through a journey with cancer. I can see now, like, the Rebecca now versus the Rebecca before. Your confidence is shining way more. Like, you're taking, I wouldn't call it a risk, but your hair has dyed. Like, it seems like you're embracing a new era and a new chapter of your life. And then add on top of all of that, the shame. And I'm not trying to speak for you again, but when you're overweight, you are made to feel shame about being overweight. And so now it's like almost like this shameful secret where you're like, hey, this used to be me. But there are so many factors that go into it. So I don't really think it's irrational for you to feel that way. I do think you should show it and be fine with it. But I totally get how you could be feeling some kind of way about showing a very private, what it shouldn't be, but shameful part of your past from when you were a different person pre-cancer to your boyfriend. That's a lot to unpack there. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Kat, good morning.
Good morning. I am opposite. I lost almost 150 pounds, but I still keep clothes in my closet of when I was a size, you know, 4X, because I can't get rid of them because I still see myself that way.
Is there a fear there somehow? Like, I'm not trying to play Dr. Phil or anything, but is there a fear in the back of your head that, well, I'll probably get back to that weight, so I don't want these clothes to go away?
100%.
Huh.
And it's crazy because my best friend and my daughter have to drag me to go buy clothes. They're like, Mom, you really need to go shopping. And my husband has to buy me clothes. He's like, honey, you look great. Like, I love you now. We got to get you some clothes, but they're still tucked in the back of my closet, and I still pull them out thinking that I can wear them, and I can't.
Have you gotten rid of all those clothes?
Oh, yeah, I sold them immediately.
Did you? You burnt them.
Looking back.
The Burt Show. Real funny. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Trigger warning, Kanye West story ahead, because Kanye West just walked out of an interview with Piers Morgan, and it all has to do with a little kerfuffle over something that I think wouldn't bother most celebrities, but it's Kanye West, and I think he kind of looks for any chance to cause a little controversy, cause a little pot-stirring moment, and yeah, walked off the set.
Well, the two of these guys together, Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan. Is the same as Kanye. I mean, they've got the same MO, man.
Little troll
situation. Yeah. He loves this. He absolutely loved that Kanye walked off the set yesterday.
Oh, this is so good for him. I'm sure he loves it. But I mean, it is a little frustrating for any interviewer when you're just asking a simple question, or you're just trying to get through your job, and then all of a sudden, poof, off the set, which they were actually doing it like a like a, what is it? Like a, not like a Zoom interview, but Kanye's in Mallorca. He's got this beautiful ocean behind him. He's got some like goon next to him. They're hanging out. And he, I don't know why that man was also in the interview. But then Piers Morgan, as he was getting ready to start asking a question, he starts talking about his Twitter followers. He incorrectly cites the number of Twitter followers that Kanye has. And he says, you have 32 million followers on Twitter. And Kanye immediately stops him and says, no. And he says something inappropriate, which is why I'm not playing the audio, and says like, no, get somebody to find how many Twitter followers I have, and then we can continue this question.
And the line that you can't play on the radio was actually pretty funny.
It was actually really funny. I was like, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but it is pretty iconic audio. Maybe if there's bonus time, we can actually play it, but it was a lot.
He said something to the effect of, why are you trying to take inches off my...
Got it. Yep. Okay. Yep. All right. Yep.
all for 1 million followers. So he cited 32 million and Kanye corrected him to 33.3 million. It turned into a very heated exchange and he ends up walking off the set and then coming back. And here is some of the more intense audio between these two guys.
I haven't said anything.
What are you talking about? It's 30. Okay. Now you're not taking accountability or responsibility.
You implied I haven't played your music. Of course I've played your music.
No, sir. This is what you get for now. We can circle back when you can count.
Okay. He's like, learn some math.
I cannot believe I'm going to do this, but I kind of have Kanye's back here.
The social media director, well, you think that...
It's a million, but here's the thing. Piers is, quote unquote, a journalist. Like, you're supposed to get your facts right. And so now you're sitting in an interview and you don't have your facts straight. I don't think I'd be that mad.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I would have been like, nah, it's like 33 or whatever. But it is a million people. But it's more for me, I would feel disrespected as an artist to show up at a major interview with a major, like, TV figurehead who doesn't have their facts straight about me. I'd be like, did you prep for this at all? Did your people produce you well? Because it feels like you put no effort into it.
I completely disagree with you. First of all, for a celebrity to know exactly how many they have, to me, speaks volumes. And you knowing that it's 33 instead of 32, and who cares at the end of the day? It is definitely not a reason to walk off the set.
I don't know that Piers didn't get it wrong on purpose. I think people are inviting Kanye onto their platform to get him riled up and angry because of how it goes viral. And Kanye is doing all of this trolling, and I still have not heard one person talk about the singles that he's released. It's like, it's not even working, so I don't even see how it's worth it at this point.
I can't tell if he's crazy or brilliant.
I really think it's one of those situations where two things can be true. I think there is brilliance to some of what Kanye does. I just think where he lacks brilliance is knowing when to stop and what to filter. He doesn't know when to pull back. But he does have some slight brilliance in a lot of the things he does and says.
I think the only reason he doesn't have the quote unquote brilliance to know when to hold back is that there's been really no accountability for him. Like, there's no consequences for the things that he says. All he sees is that, you know, when I say something crazy, I get a million more followers. Mm-hmm, when I say something crazy, my streams go back up.
He's cannibalized the reason why he became popular, though. Like, if Gold Digger came out now, which is probably his biggest hit.
You could say that, arguably.
Okay. At least one of the top three.
Yeah, for
hits,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Would anybody give him an opportunity or give that song an opportunity now, knowing that it's Kanye? Or has he branded himself as such an a-hole that you wouldn't even give his music a chance anymore? I don't know anything he's come out with in the last 6 months.
I don't think he's as brilliant with making music or creating music as he used to be. I think he shows like flashes of it in a couple of the songs that he makes. He's certainly not the Kanye that would once put out an album and it seemed like every record was incredible. But I do think even in today, if he did make a record that was as good as Jesus Walks or as good as Gold Digger, people would not take it seriously because of all he's done.
No, this is really how he's going to earn his living right now is for by sure. doing what he's doing, because people won't accept his music because he's such a D-bag.
Yeah, because I also feel like he's put himself in the box of now certain people are going to have a moral dilemma as to whether or not they play his music or not. You
1,000%.
Know what I mean? Like, you do something cancelable and can you feel good about pressing play on a Kanye West record? All right, for more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Talk about something entirely different about Mo's podcast in the moment here in just 1 second. But I did watch it a few days ago, or one of the clips, and I wanted to mention something on the show. And I wanted us to have the same debate you guys did on your podcast in the moment. And moms are going to absolutely hate this, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner. You want to set this thing up?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, damn, moms are going to be upset about this.
I didn't think about the timing of it. That's funny. But, yeah, I thought this was interesting because I had never looked at it this way. But I saw like a comment online that said the only person in your life, if you're as a man, that will ever truly love you for you is your wife, because technically your parents love you because you're their child, your siblings love you because you're their sibling, and your kids love you because you're their parent. But your wife is the only person in your life that actually chose you and chose to be there, so they love you differently than everyone else in your circle.
In this scenario, do you have no friends that love you?
Well, no, that's valid because your friends did choose you too, right? Uh-huh. But I don't think they counted friends because typically your friends don't love you to the level of like a spouse or a sibling or a child. Typically, not always. A best friend, I think, can be put in that same the same realm as a wife.
I see Cassie's wheels turning.
I am. I'm trying to think it out. So love you like just for who you are. I would agree with that. Love you more than your mom. I would say maybe you can reach an equal level if you try really hard, but you're right. Like I will, it's one of those things. Moms unconditionally love their children, and you would be hard pressed to find a mother. I mean, I always tell my kid, I'm like, it does not matter what you do. You can scream, you hate me. I don't care what you do. I will always love you no matter what, because she's my child. Like there is a special relationship there. But when you're looking at someone that you chose, you're right. It is, there's no obligation. There's no biology at play. I mean, besides like, you know, chemistry, but it's, I'm choosing you because I like you, and I'm going to take the good with the bad, and I'm choosing to live my life alongside you. I kind of agree with it.
That's what was interesting to me, because it's not like, it's not, I know some people are going to be like, well, you know, that means they love you more or love you less. Like, no, that's not exactly what it was saying. Of course, your mom can love you more than your spouse, but your mom didn't choose you, right? Like, she kind of was put forced into that situation like we all were, and it just was interesting to me because that angle of it is like, yeah, that word choose.
Yes.
That's, yeah, she's the only person who chose you. Because I know there's a lot of parents that love their kids, but it's like, hey, some of them personality traits I could do without. Right? you didn't get the choice.
I think your co-host Key also said my kids, and you're like, no.
They love you because you're their parent, right? They didn't have a choice in that either. Then I had him to the point where he was just like, all right, you know what? I'm not even married, so I guess it's just me. I guess I'm the only person who loves me for me.
I don't know. There's a lot of times I don't love me for me. I got to be honest.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
I think my significant other loves me more than I love myself a lot of times.
I agree. 100%.
All right. The other debate that you guys were having.
Would you be upset if your significant other used the talents of an ex for a celebration? That's the question we're all here to ask. And I'm very curious if the women on the show will feel like this is just male ego, or if you'll feel like he has somewhat of a point. Because my dude was fuming, and we have this Zoom call that we do every week, and you could see immediately as the call started, he was upset about something. And he was like, yo, we got to talk, because I need to know if I'm tripping or if I'm losing my mind. And it's ironic because, Abby, you were speaking earlier to how your friend is in a situation where she's not sure if she should tell her man about a song that was created for her. And this is similar because his wife was having a theme birthday party. And the theme was about being hot, like just being a hottie, being hot in the summer. That was the whole theme. There's fire everywhere. She just wanted to have a hot themed party. Cool. No problem there. The issue is she used to date a guy who at one point, he's not really popular today, but at one point he was a really popular rapper. And my dude never knew that this happened. He didn't know that she dated him. I guess she just felt like there was no point in telling him that. Mm-hmm. So she never told him. So while they're at the party, she posts an Instagram post with this guy's, her ex, song. A song that a lot of people know from back in the day. And the song is about being hot. So it just makes sense. It goes with the theme. And not only did she post it on her Instagram post, she had it play as like the song of the night kind of thing.
Look at Cassie trying to do the research on it right now to find out.
And you did find it.
You found him that fast.
Yeah,
the song
right.
Gave it away.
Show me. You got it right. That's him. Now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known the name, but you know the song. You would know the song.
Well,
Abby,
sure.
I don't know if you would. You're like a young child.
Ah!
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Is there a reason why we're not allowed to say what the song or the name is?
Privacy.
You don't have to.
I don't want to. If you know, you know. I pretty much gave it away with saying the theme of the song.
Okay.
But I told them I would leave names out of it, so I'm going to leave names out
I
of it.
I love this song.
But it's a bop, right?
It's a bop.
So she played it, I guess, not thinking much of it. But, of course, someone went too far in revealing a little too much information and said something at the party to the extent of, I think jokingly, like, you really thought he was going to go somewhere back when y'all was having y'all little thing. And so my dude overheard it and said, little thing? What little thing? And then he saw that she made a face like, okay, now I have to explain this to him, and I never wanted to. She says that they dated. It was brief. It was like 10-15 years ago. It was a long time ago. They have been married for years. It's never been an issue. But he's just now finding this out at this party. And he's like, wait, so hold up. Y'all used to date. You didn't tell me, one. You used his song as like the song of the night. Mm-hmm. And then you posted it on your Instagram.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's just a song. Who cares? And he's like, no. And then people know. He's like, obviously people know. And I didn't know. So they seeing you post it. He probably still follows you somewhere like, she's still listening to my music.
Uh-huh.
So he's hot, like fuming. And she thinks he's just making a big deal out of nothing.
Man, if he had known that they dated, I would have been like, get over it. But I get it. Like, you're there at this party, your wife's friends know, and then you're surrounded by this music. It feels like it's not the fact that she used anything by her ex. It's the fact that I would feel left out of a secret that your other friends know. And as your spouse, I should have known that. It feels like you're hiding something from me.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. It's the non-disclosure for me. Like the fact that you had him up there and perform, and I'm sitting there feeling like, okay, now I'm the fool because everyone in here knows except for me, and we're all dancing and getting down to this really popular song, and I now look like an idiot.
Okay, but also I beat out a rapper, okay?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, look who won.
I know. It's the theme of the party, too, and it's his song. I'm feeling a certain way, man.
I would have been hot, too.
All right, the name of the podcast is In the Moment.
It's called In the Moment, M-O-E-M-E-N-T, and you can get it wherever you get your podcast.
The Burt Show.
The closer for my week of buffoonery. So I told you guys that somebody asked me if I was my girlfriend's son's grandfather the other day.
Ouch.
That stung.
Yep.
That stung pretty hard.
That hit you a little
How
bit.
Quickly did you make that Daxify appointment?
I did say, well, I just had it done.
Oh, you
That's
did?
That's the problem.
Oh, damn.
I Wait, just had it done.
I thought we were doing a Burt Show field trip to the plastic surgeon. No?
No, I went a couple of weeks ago. I saw Kristen's forehead. I couldn't wait any longer. Okay. Clearly, I did not get the same results as Kristen. Then there were my Bronco doors I told you guys about a couple of days ago. I couldn't get these things off. I thought it would be really cool. By the way, that whole experience when you see people on their Jeep Wrangler with their doors off or Broncos, highly overrated. It's a highly overrated experience.
Driving around with it?
Yeah, with the doors off. Yeah. Highly. I mean, you have to have your mind on the weather all the time. True. You're never going to have a good hair day ever again. You can't go to a business appointment like that. I can't take Amanda in it because her hair's all over the place. Totally overrated. But I couldn't get the doors off the other day. I'm out there struggling as much as I can. My girlfriend, who weighs 120 pounds, rolls up. Click, 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 click. Doors come right off. Right, that second. And then the last thing here, I'm just reading over the comments. So on my Insta a couple of days ago, for whatever reason on my camera roll, you know how they come up with your memories from years and years and years ago?
Yep.
I don't know if you saw this one, Mo, but a picture came up for me from way back in the day of me at a bar with Charles Barkley.
Okay.
I don't recall the night.
You don't remember anything about it?
I don't recall the night at all.
This has been a theme for you this week.
Right? So I posted that on Instagram. It's me, Charles Barkley, and my friend Jake, right? I don't really recall the night too much. In looking at the comments, I now realize it was Cuckoo Room, which have you been to yet?
The Cuckoo Room?
On Crescent Avenue?
Uh-uh.
You really should go.
What's the Cuckoo Room?
It used to be super fun. I'm not sure if it still is, but it used to be super fun. Do you remember Ace from Real World?
No, maybe
you're too young. He owns the place.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's just, it used to be a really, really fun club. It's still open, but I haven't been there in years. Anyway, so I post this picture, and it's me in 2013, So I have the beaver cut going on, and Charles Barkley is right next to me, and my friend Jake is on the other side, and I am hammered, just hammered. I've got the straw. I'm trying to lick the straw because I don't think my face could find the cup. So I'm searching for the straw with my tongue, and you could see that in the picture.
You can tell all of this from the picture.
Oh, yeah, dude. So people had a field day in the comments, and I'm just now getting to them. I just want to read two of them for you guys. One, for a second, I thought you were my Auntie Sheila. She calls herself a proud Portland lesbian. And the other one was, let me try to find this one. This was great. ChatGPT didn't disappoint here. This photo looks like the opening scene of a buddy comedy titled Wrong Bar, Right Regrets. Left guy, my friend Jake, left guy rolled in with the swagger of a minor league pitcher who just got cut and found out his girlfriend's been texting the bartender. That flat brim hat is doing overtime trying to contain a midlife crisis. Middle guy, which is me, looks like a ventriloquist dummy who came to life and immediately developed a drinking problem. That face says, I've had two shots and a Red Bull, and I'm about to fight a jukebox. And about Charles Barkley, it says, and the man on the right, he's got the smile of someone who knows he's in a photo with two guys who will be blacked out and crying before midnight. He's not hugging them. He's restraining them from causing another scene. Also, why does the lighting scream Hell's Waiting Room? This isn't a bar. It's purgatory for poor choices.
Oh, God. They went wild on you.
And it probably still is.
I would say if you have nights of drinking with Charles Barkley that you don't remember, yes, you've had a pretty decent night.
I was about to say that. Subtle flex.
All right, so what's going on with your mom on a night that you can't really quite remember either?
No, it's not a night. It's a segment that I don't remember us doing. And she drunk texted me the context for it just completely out of nowhere, and I'm trying to figure out what segment she's referencing. So apparently this is something we have talked about on the show. It definitely doesn't come from our bonus content because she don't subscribe. But the context is, this is Saturday night. This is 7:40 p.m. Our last conversation before she texts me is her asking me how the Atlanta United game was. She said, how's the game? I didn't respond because I was busy. And then at 7:40, after me not responding to that text, this is what she sends me. She goes, at the party tonight, every single couple agreed with the butt versus boob guy, even all the women with implants. And I respond, I'm so confused about the context of this.
Like, do that again, one more again.
This is literally coming out of nowhere.
Okay.
We have no prior conversation. It is 7:40 p.m. on Saturday. Her text to me, again, no context, out of nowhere. At the party tonight, every single couple agreed with the butt versus boob guy, even all the women with implants. And then I respond, I'm so confused about the context of this. And then she replies, Aaron, her friend who was holding the party, Aaron started talking about having to get hers redone, which led to a conversation about the next lady who had to have her implants redone, which led to Mark saying, Mark is Aaron's husband, Mark saying he doesn't care about boobs, which led to me saying, Abby had a whole segment on this on the Burt Show about boob guys and butt guys. Her implants redone. And every person agreed boob guys are not nice. Also, no one here looks at their significant other's Instagram followers.
What?
Does any of this ring a bell?
The Instagram followers part, I remember.
We just did that. And
I remember that conversation.
Of course, I had to translate because there's a lot of typos here. But she said the significant others are not looking at each other's Instagram followers, which is a conversation we had recently.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't know what she's talking about the boobs versus butt guys.
I don't have a clue.
And the butt guys not being nice.
Would it be from when we were talking about breast reduction?
I literally don't know. I'm like, do we have a debate about whether or not guys are actually into chestier women, or they like bustier women on the nether regions.
When did she send this to you?
Saturday at 7:40 p.m.
Okay, so this was before Katie talking about her girlfriend and the reduction.
Oh, yeah, so it wasn't that conversation
I'm,
either.
I'm like, what debate did we have about boobs and butts?
I don't ever remember us having a debate about
that's why I'm like, I don't know what cocktail she had that night, but by all means, please send them to me.
Someone will hit you up and remember that conversation if we had it on the show.
Okay, perfect. All right,
it's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.